This morning, I will be reading from Luke 2, 1 through 14, from the New International Version. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word.
Thank you, everyone who helped with the worship service today, from our singers and everyone. It's so great to be in this church. This is a wonderful church family, and thank you all for being here today. I greet you all warmly in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a question for you today. Have you gotten a jump yet on Christmas? Did you know that there are only 18 shopping days left until the big day? Now, for Seventh-day Adventists, that's only 16 days. I'm taking out the Sabbaths. There's only 16 days left. And I wanted to get a jump on Christmas too. So I said to myself, why wait until the 21st of December to give a Christmas sermon? Why not just give it today? So I want to share with you my Christmas message for you, entitled, "What Would Christmas Be Without Christ?" You know, my dear friends, Christmas definitely is my favorite time of the year, and it always has been. Just look around you. Don't you love the decorations here in the church? There are many people who put in a lot of hours to get this done, notwithstanding all of the effort and time that went into walk through Bethlehem. And we're looking for all of you to be there tonight. At what time? 2:30. To get into costume, because we start bringing our dear members from the community in at 3 o'clock. So we'd like you all here to take part in that. I was thinking a while back as I was preparing my thoughts for my remarks for you today, How sad it would be if there really were no Christmas. I mean, Christmas is such an important part in the history of the world. Christmas is such an important part of God's plans. And I think sometimes we cannot appreciate how important Christmas is to us personally and how important and vital it is when we realize what Christmas means. I want you to look again with me in your Bibles, if you'll take them out, please, to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. As the angel comes to announce the very first Christmas, we read it from God's Word. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Imagine for just a moment, my dear friends, if you will, please, a group of our BAA young people gathering around our piano here, about to celebrate Christmas. And oh, by the way, I wanted to remind you, the orchestra that represents all of Area 5 was practicing here last night for our Walk Through Bethlehem program. They're going to do it every night at 7 o'clock here. And I would like for all of you to be here. They are wonderful. The music was exceptional. I wanted to make sure that you come and listen to the orchestra here at our church. Well, anyway, imagine if you will, our BAA young people coming here around the piano, and one of them takes a hymnal and begins to go through the hymnal to pick out some Christmas carols as they begin to gather around to sing their favorite Christmas hymns. And as he begins to look through the hymn book to look for the carols that they want to sing, he looks and searches very diligently. He searches and can't find a single Christmas carol. So a look of amazement crosses his face. Then he says to the group of young people, "Well, there are no carols to sing. At least we can read the Christmas story. Does somebody have a Bible?" Another young person says, "Yeah, I have one. Let's read the Christmas story." So they open the Bible and they find that the Bible contains Genesis to Malachi. And so they have no Christmas story to read from the Bible. And so the pages are turned, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, but no New Testament. Because you see, if Christ had not come, if there was no Christmas, there would be no New Testament. There would be no verse that would say, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." There would be no story of the angelic annunciation. There would be no account of the shepherd's visitation. There would be no account of the wise men coming with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If Christ had not come, there would be no Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. There would be no Sermon on the Mount. No story of Jesus walking on the water. No story of Jesus healing the sick and raising the dead. In the hour of our deepest trouble, we would not be able to turn to one of the most comforting verses that I share, Romans 8:28, and probably one of your favorites as well. "All things work together for good to those who love God." Dear friends, when the icy hand of death plucks a family member from out of their midst, there would be no John 14 to tell us that our hearts should not be troubled, for in the Father's house there are many mansions. None of that. Instead of 66 books in the good book, there would only be 39. We would speak of a Bible encompassing not Genesis to Revelation, but Genesis to Malachi. Taking the New Testament out of the Bible would be absolutely unthinkable to us today. And yet, if there was no Christmas, if Christ had not come, there would be no New Testament. If we didn't have Christmas to celebrate, a lot of things that we take for granted would not be possible. And I want to share some of those with you this morning. First of all, if there were no Christmas, I submit to you that the Father would be unknowable. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." Dear friends, the only way anyone can know God is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Had he not been born a virgin, had he not come into this world, had he not been willing to leave heaven and been born of a virgin, had he not been willing to walk upon this earth and suffer as men suffer and endure persecution and shame, had Jesus not been willing to come and be our sinless substitute, had Christmas not occurred, then the Father would have been unknowable. We would never have known what God is like. You know, I think the Apostle Philip summed it up best. Because his was a cry, the cry of the human heart from all eternity past when he said in John 14, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us." That's the cry of all humanity. We want to know God. We want to know what God is like. And my dear friends, I've mentioned it to you before in a previous sermon, that there is indeed a God-shaped hole, a vacuum in every human heart that longs to be filled with God. Every civilization known to man has had some kind of a religion. They have worshipped graven images, or worshipped the planets or the starry regions up above. Because man innately wants to worship something. Man was made for God, beloved, and he is going to worship. I guarantee you, he's going to worship something, even if he has to worship himself. I love it when I read the other day in the Westminster Catechism. It said this: "The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever." I love that. We were created to glorify God and, yes, enjoy God forever. Man, as I said just a moment ago, has a hunger for God. And in John 14:8, Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us." And I can imagine in my sanctified imagination, when Jesus heard that, he kind of went, Philip, have I been so long a time with you and you do not know who I am?" It is as though Jesus is saying, "Philip, I have a question for you. Do you enjoy being with me?" "Oh, yeah, Lord, you're wonderful. I mean, Philip, I mean, do you feel comfortable in my presence?" "Oh, Lord, we do. We do." And I can imagine, in my sanctified imagination, Jesus saying, "Well, Philip, hang on to your little yarmulke, because what I'm about to tell you is that the kids say today is going to blow you away. Are you ready? Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one," Jesus said. "Philip, look at me, focus. God and I are one. You love being with me, you're going to love being with our Father. You see, had Jesus not come, the Father would have been unknowable. And Jesus did say to Philip, Philip, the Father and I are one. One in purpose, one in mind, one in substance. We talk about the Trinity, do we not? I don't even like using that word. That's not where I want to go today. I would rather that we say this. God is three co-equal, co-eternal persons of the Godhead. Of the Godhead. Jesus was God in human flesh. Jesus was God loving with a human heart. Jesus was God seeing with human eyes. Jesus was God touching with human hands. Jesus was God caring with a human mind. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. If you want to know the Father, my dear friends, you've got to come and know the Father only through Jesus Christ. The very first verse of chapter 14 of John, Jesus said this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, why did he say that? Well, it's not hard to believe in God. You have to choose against your will, your own nature, not to believe in God, because God has made himself known throughout creation. It is within the nature of every person to believe in God. But believing that God exists will not help you know God. You have to take a step beyond belief in God, and that's why Jesus said, "You believe in God? Believe also in me." Why? Because Jesus came to reveal the Father. Do you realize, had there been no Christmas, the Father would be unknowable? We could have never known our Creator and his love for us and his concern for us. We would have never known that we were made in his image, that we were made for his good pleasure, that we were made for fellowship with him. That's what Christmas is all about, that we can know him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling, making right the world unto himself. And this is the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world, my dear friends. It is only the Christian faith that presents a Father God, a God that can be known personally. My dear friends, only a Christian, I submit to you this morning, can really celebrate Christmas. Only a Christian can do that. Only a Christian can know the Father. Without Christmas, the Father would be unknowable. My second point. And I only have 14 points to share with you. No, I'm sorry, it would be 4 points. My second point. If there was no Christmas, the gospel would be unpreachable. From the very first Christmas, it's called the good news. In Luke 2:11, notice the verse. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Then in verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child." From the very beginning, the birth of Christ was good news. The angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." You know what the gospel means, don't you, beloved? It means good news. We all agree with that. The angel said, I bring you good news. So what is the good news? Here it is encapsulated. Ready? God loves sinners. That's good news. Without Christmas, the gospel would be unpreachable. There would be no good news to tell. In the Old Testament, they looked for a Messiah to come. They hoped a Messiah would come. It was promised that a Messiah would come. They had faith that one day God would fulfill his promise. But for 400 years after the writing of Malachi, darkness. No revelation of God. No other voice had spoken for 400 years. There was no good news. Then, when Jesus was born, it was good news. There was a gospel that could be preached. But without Christmas, the gospel would be unpreachable. Had Christ not been born of a virgin, the good news could not be preached. The good news that a virgin had born a son, the Son of God, could not be preached. One who was 100% human so that he could know our needs, experience everything we experience, yet was 100% divine so he could live a sinless life and qualify to be our substitute and bear our sins at the cross would be unpreachable. The good news that he was a Savior is a Savior for everybody. My dear friends, Jesus came for every race. He came for every color. He came for every creed. He came for every person in the world. There's not a person in this world that God does not love. There's not a person in this world that God cannot save. And yet, had there been no Christmas, there would be no gospel to preach. Friends, it is for everybody. God said that the gospel is for the whole world. But without Christmas, the gospel would be unpreachable. There would be no good news to share. If Jesus did not die for our sins, and if he did not rise again from the dead, then we have no hope. The good news is we have a Savior. There's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And only the gospel presents that concept. Number three, if there were no Christmas, prayer would be unprofitable. In the Old Testament times, only a few people could talk to God directly. Only special servants called prophets could. Only the priest could mediate directly to God. Only the high priest on the Day of Atonement could go into the Holy of Holies where God's presence was there. I mean, the average person like you and I could not talk to God directly. We had to have the priest to talk to God. And some folks still believe that to this day. But you see, when Christmas came, it changed all of that. When Christmas came, God sent his Son into the world. Prayer became profitable because Jesus became the way to God. Jesus became the way so that you and I can communicate directly to God for ourselves. We don't need to go through a preacher. We don't need to go through a saint. We don't need to go through a priest. We go to God through God, Jesus, directly to the Father. No man can go to God apart from the Son of God. Look at this verse in John 14, 13. Whatsoever Jesus says you ask in my name, I will do it. The Father may be glorified in the Son. Again and again, Jesus taught his disciples that he came to this earth so that the way of prayer could be open, so that we could come to the throne of grace boldly, I might add, and approach the Father with our prayers. Again, boldly, without hesitation, without limitation. Whatsoever things you ask in my name, that the Father will do. Again and again, Jesus told us that the way to the Father is through him. And because Jesus died on the cross, Jesus opened the way of heaven. It's through his name that we have access to God. And now, the youngest person up to the oldest person can come to God without the aid of any priest or pastor. Wherever they are, they can reach God through prayer because Christmas took place and God sent his Son. And last of all, my dear friends, if there were no Christmas, heaven would be unattainable. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no person will come unto the Father but by me. Jesus taught us that it's through his name that we are saved. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Without Christmas, heaven would be unattainable. There had to be a sinless sacrifice. Someone had to die for sinners. Someone had to be sinless and pure. Someone had to be both human and divine. Someone had to come and offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we could be his righteousness. I like that exchange. That word righteous is a legal word. It means that we have right standing before God because of Jesus. The Bible says that God took our sins and he transferred them and placed them on Jesus, and that when we believe on Jesus, we have eternal life. That's the old, old story, beloved, of Christmas. Listen, if Jesus had not been born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sin, risen again from the dead, then heaven would not be attainable. In fact, death would have conquered. Funeral services would have to end with the words, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Growing up as a young person would be a challenge. Maturity would be a struggle, and old age would be filled with regrets. In Hebrews 2:14, we are told, but Christ came to destroy him who had the power of death, even the devil. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He who believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Only in the name of Jesus, my dear friends, can we find assurance of eternal life. In all the other religions of the world, you have to work, you have to strive. You work and you strive and you still don't know if you're going to make it. But the Bible says that the moment you receive Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. The very moment you receive him into your heart, you have the assurance of eternal life. 1 John 5:12. He that has the Son has life. The verb is present tense. You have it now. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus came to Bethlehem. He was born to a virgin and he brought life. He brought life to all people. One day, a Christmas card came to the home of a pastor. In the hopes of spreading a little Christmas cheer his way, the card, however, was one of those secular kinds of cards with, you know, Santa and the reindeers and the elves. Totally absent was the message of Christ coming into the world and how he changed everything. The pastor was studying for his Christmas sermon, and as apt to happen after a long day of visitations and other ministry things, the pastor fell asleep in his study, studying. In his dream now, he found himself looking throughout his home, going room to room. There was no Christmas tree. There was no manger scene. There were no shepherds, no wise men, not even the baby Jesus in the manger. He went out his front door. He walked down the street. There were no Christmas lights anywhere. He could see no evidence for Christmas. Not only that, he could not see even a single church with its spire pointing up to heaven. Returning to his library, he wanted to read a book on the Christian faith. But every book in his library about Christ had disappeared. Still in his dream, the doorbell rang. He answered the doorbell, and there was a messenger saying, "Pastor, come. A lady is dying and has asked for someone to come and be with her in her final hour." He rushed to the lady's side. He knew she was dying. So he opened his Bible to read to her some words of comfort. But the Bible ended in Malachi, and he could find no gospel, no promise of hope and salvation. He could only bow his head and weep in despair. In his dream, he saw himself standing beside the woman's casket, conducting the funeral message, but there was no hope, no consolation. As the service concluded, there was no word of the resurrection or the second coming or of a joyful reunion with Jesus in heaven. No words of comfort, of not letting your heart be troubled. There was only ashes to ashes, dust to dust. There was only the thought that the sting of death is forever present. Still dreaming, he came to the realization that Christ had not come, and he burst into tears, sobbing. It was then as though a divine hand touched him on the shoulder to wake him up. And he woke up. And then he heard the sound of children at his front door singing with all the gusto they could muster the words to his favorite hymn that brought immeasurable joy and comfort to his heart. He gave a shout of praise and ran to the door, flung it open, and joined the angelic children's choir in singing, "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him." Dear ones, my Christmas message for you today is, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing this favorite hymn together, "O Come, All Ye Faithful"?
Joyful.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.